Greetings and welcome to We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I am your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 176. This week, we dive into the 2019 highlights. I really cannot do this alone. It would be wrong of me to just base this entire year of subjectivity of what the highlights are by myself. So I've brought in our illustrious guest, Lance Konzett.
Hello.
So Lance is a journalist. He's a photographer. I think he's a lover of cocktails. Is that fair?
Sure. I enjoy a cocktail.
I don't know how you describe yourself. I don't know what your identifiers are.
Bon vivant. Man about town. I don't know. I take photos.
Yeah, you take a lot of great photos. I think I saw a recent set from that William Tyler show.
Oh, yeah.
Dark Matter.
Yeah, William Tyler and Rayon City. That was a great show.
Yeah, your photos were fantastic.
Thank you.
It really made me regret not being there.
But it was a fun show. It felt like a big family reunion.
So this week, and actually the next episode as well, spread out across 2 weeks, we're going to pick out some highlights from 2019.
Yes.
I'm very careful not to use the words best of.
Yes.
Because I don't like that kind of, I don't know, grading of things. It's so subjective.
It's hard. And it's hard for me to do it. And I've done it every year for 10 years now, putting in my votes for the year-end Nashville scene,
right?
Best of issue.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm picking, you know, 10 records I liked, but there are specific criteria. It has to be over 9 songs. It has to be an actual full-length album. The people who made the album have to actually live in Nashville when they put out the album.
Like, right.
Whole lot of things. And also, I'm only responsible for maybe one of those. It's all a poll. And
right.
So it's not like, hey, these are the canonical best 10 records of the year, as according to me, Lance Konzett, some guy that you may or may not have heard of. So
right.
It's hard. It's always hard.
Yeah. So this is, as we said, very subjective. These are just some highlights. Mm-hmm. I mean, in putting this list together, my selections, like we both have 8 selections.
Yes.
Spread out across 2 episodes. I have 100 songs that were like,
oh, yeah,
these are incredible offerings, yeah, from Nashville that all came out in 2019.
Yeah.
You just can't play. I guess we could play them all. But over the course of the last year, you know, this show comes out every week. So a lot of these were in there.
Yeah. And I, you know, you do this every week and I don't, but I still had a good 30 songs that I was trying to pick and choose from. Like, okay, what does this song say about the past year in music in Nashville? It's a hard conversation to have with yourself.
Yeah, it's really hard. And I think, you know, some of my selections, I can think of one that I will elaborate on later, but like, it's not even necessarily like a quote unquote important record.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really enjoyable listen to.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I picked that. I will also throw in my own personal caveat, as I am the curator and owner of YK Records. I did not select anything from my own roster, which was heartbreaking because obviously I love all the records that I put out. So big shout out to Mute Group, Patrick Dampier, The Robe, Stone Jack Jones, The Medium, and Fetching Pails, all local artists. Your records are phenomenal. I highly recommend everyone go listen to them, but it felt a little too heavy on the nepotism vibe kind of thing.
Yeah,
to
that's
pick
fair.
Those. Plus, if I only get 8 selections, that's 6.
Yeah. That makes those last 2 real hard.
Yeah, yeah. So sorry about that, YK Records roster. Maybe I'll highlight you in another way later. Eesh. All right. Overall, this was extremely hard. I'm looking at the list here of bands that I cut.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. It's devastating not to include these. So as we go, I'm sure I will call them out. And as we play these songs, I think the plan is to just sort of say not only why we like the song, but why they were important potentially Nashville. So enough of the jibber jabber. We're going to start with Lance's first selection, and then we're going to go back and forth. One from Lance, one from me.
Sounds good.
Back and forth. Here we go.
I look around, my thoughts are stacked to the ceiling. I lost and found up all my forgotten feelings. I ask myself, is this the mind of a genius? Or something else entirely made of weakness? Brain cells turned prison cells. Trapped in my mind, trapped in my mind. Brain cells turned prison cells. Trapped in my mind, don't feed the monster inside. Get me out of my head and back into my body. Get me out of my head. is turning. And God's timing isn't late, never early. And for a second, I am not in a hurry. How do I learn not to return to my worry? Brain cells turned to prison cells. Trapped in my mind, trapped in my mind. Brain cells turned to prison cells. Trapped in my mind, don't feed the monster inside. Get me out of my head and back into my body. Get me out of my head and back into my skin again. Get me out of my head so I can feel my heartbeat.
Okay. Do you want to introduce what that was?
Yeah, that was Daniela Mason with Get Me Out of My Head off of
Mental State?
Mental State. So Daniela has been doing this thing where she, I think at the end of it, she will have released four different EPs. It's either three or four. Emotional State came out last year. Mental State came out earlier this year. I believe Physical State is next year. And I don't know what the fourth one is. If there is indeed a fourth one, I could be misremembering. And so Daniela is an artist that I'm very familiar with. She was one of the people I talked to for my Nashville pop music cover story for The Scene last year. She was on the cover alongside Arlo Mar, Reggie Williams. And I'm a big fan. I think that what she's doing is really, really cool and interesting, but it's also like very accessible pop music. Like,
yeah.
I would put that up against like any Carly Rae Jepsen song. Like, I think
absolutely.
It's really, really, really good music. That EP came out like early, early this year, and it's just been a constant fixture on my 2019 favorites playlist.
Yeah.
Just keep listening to it over and over again, like right next to a Carly Rae Jepsen song. And, you know, like, I grew up as this, like, I don't know, smug punk rocker, and I'm really glad that I am no longer that smug punk rocker that I can just enjoy just, like, a straightforward, straight-ahead pop song.
Yeah.
But also, it's, like, you know, it's about angst. It is about, like, you know, mental, emotional angst.
And, yeah.
But turning that into a dance party, it's great.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the issue with pop. A lot of pop music is that it's kind of empty, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's
yeah.
the argument, at least. It doesn't feel like that is empty, this song. This is new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I am, as everyone who listens to the show may know, I am very much, I said it last week, I'm in my pop music infancy. Like, I know some of it, but I don't really know a lot of it. That was fantastic. I can totally
yeah.
see you listening to that over and over. And I think it is important for Nashville to have this really strong scene that can make these offerings that do go up against, you know, more nationwide
yeah,
acts.
For sure. And the Nashville pop scene, I think I'm writing a thing for The Scene also about this, where there are a couple things that happened, and then I'll talk about some other stuff later on the show. But one thing that happened is that, like, The Scene is really reaching out into other pop communities. Like, there are people who are working in Nashville, working with folks in Los Angeles and Chicago and New York and Atlanta, all across. So the pop scene is like really spreading out a lot, and it's gaining steam in terms of, like, you know, more generalized popularity.
Yeah.
Arlo Mar put out his debut record earlier this year on Island Records.
Like, wow.
Yeah. No, it's a huge deal. Like,
yeah.
You know, like, Dreamer Boy sold out a bunch of shows.
Right.
Like, it's been gathering a lot of steam lately.
Dreamer Boy just announced, like, a European tour, too,
yeah.
I think.
They're like, crazy huge.
Yeah.
Nobody knows them in Nashville, but they are crazy huge everywhere else. It's
so
wild.
I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent,
sure.
But do you think that because Nashville is such a like musician's town, quote unquote, that because the live performance aspect of it doesn't really have a place to be, like I can't think of a venue where I would see Daniela Mason and it wouldn't like the Basement East, but you're at such a level by that point.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that that's fading away. I've seen pop shows at High Watt, Basement East, the East Room, like all over. And so, and there's a lot of musicianship that happens in those live shows. I think it might just be there's a lot of competition in this city.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm honestly not really sure.
Yeah. Well, I don't mean to say musicianship meaning that there's not musicianship in pop music, just like the whole guitar, drums, bass setup.
Right. Yeah.
Is
yeah.
Where, I don't know. I'm showing my age a little. But yeah, this is fantastic. And I will definitely dive into these EPs. I love that concept of just releasing.
It's really interesting because that's like a super indie rock thing. Like releasing a bunch of EPs and then like trying to like pull them all together into one big piece later on. Like Danielle is doing that. This band Sucre is doing that. Sucre is a husband-wife duo. The singer, the one was in Isley, and the drummer and producer was the drummer for Mute Math. And so they're a married couple with kids, and they're just putting out singles every month for an ultimate, like, we're gonna put out a whole record with all these singles on it, but you know, like kind of like giving the fan base something, but coalescing it into this big thing. It's such an indie rock thing to do, like
totally
like merge like singles club stuff, and like it's interesting to see pop artists in Nashville doing that as well.
Yeah, I call that the okie dokie style of releasing. Like literally their last record came out quote unquote on Spotify as a cohesive record, but all of the singles had already been released and they were already releasing singles from the next record. So it was like kind of a non-event for the record to come out. I don't know. Love it. 2019 and 2020 are just like, release records and music however you want.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, love it. All right. You've got some more pop selections on your list, so I'm sure we'll talk more about pop.
For sure.
We're going to go into my first selection of the 2019 highlights.
By a falling star, little Richard on the line, wondering where you are, making plans today as a tribute to tomorrow. Daffodils and tulips surround you with their aura. Ouroboros tattoo on the bank manager's hand, giving you his praise, helping you understand. Ouroboros tattoo on the lifeguard's back, saving your life, then back to the safety shack. Faces passing by in the hustle of a bustling crowd. Shadow on the sky wraps you up in its shroud. Hunter on the plane, running wild with the hounds. Baby's got it made, getting paid by the pound. Ouroboros tattoo on the bank manager's hand, giving you his praise, helping you understand. Ouroboros tattoo on the mall Santa's face, granting your wishes, then vanishing without a trace. Unraveling the mystery of a hot summer night, my knight in shining armor, my soul's delight. Half fire, half water, part dark, part light. I was kneeling at your altar, now I'm banished from your sight. Ouroboros tattoo on the bank manager's hand, giving you his praise, helping you understand. Ouroboros tattoo on the jazz man's chest, healing your wounds, then leaving you there to rest. Thank you.
was Cravon with the song Ouroboros off of their April 2019 release, Ace on the Outspeaker. I saw them finally recently at the East Room, opening for Fetching Pails.
I was also there.
Yeah, and I had been listening to this record all year and finally caught them live. And they play a ton, but I just hadn't made it happen and finally saw it. And it was great.
Oh, yeah.
It sounded so much like the record, but still had like really nice energy to it. Anyway, the reason I picked this is because it really stands out to me as very unique. Like, I can't think of another band that sounds like this. Like, maybe there's obviously overlap with other bands nationwide, like a Decemberists or some other Portland kind of band.
If I had to take a stab at it that way, it's like really like high fidelity Ween.
Yeah. Which is a hell of a compliment.
I feel like, you know, your friend and mine, co-host of the Bill and Ted podcast, Kelly Bollock,
yeah,
a noted Ween fanatic, would love that band.
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. I just think that what they're doing is like really fascinating from like a musical instrumentation point of view. There's like a lot of drum machines, but there's violin,
yeah,
and there's keyboards. Looking back, this is their fourth record, which is bonkers to me. The previous record is a cover of, it's from the Anthology of American Folk Music, released in 1952, and they did a bunch of covers with like drum machines and like krautrock sensibilities.
Okay.
That's wild.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And I think this record, while not covers of American folk music, it's steeped in folk music vibes, but it's definitely also very updated and blending all kinds of different sensibilities. And honestly, Ouroboros tattoo on the bank manager's hand, helping you understand. That's poetry to me. I love it. It's such a good narrative, like paints such a picture. I love listening to them.
I'm mostly just surprised that I had not heard of them prior to seeing them open for Fetching Pails. Like I'd never heard of them, not at all. And I wandered in, like really dug it, because I have a very like indie pop streak in me. Like I love all those Portland-based bands that you had mentioned.
Yeah.
It's part of my young adulthood. But like, yeah, really, really dug it. I was surprised I hadn't heard of it because it's so in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, really. And the whole record is great. Picking one of the songs was difficult, but I mean, I love an Ouroboros personally, so that's why the song got selected. You know, I actually found them this year because of, I think The Cream premiered a video from them. And I was just like, oh, who's this new band? And lo and behold, not new at all. But, you know, I think that happens all the time in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because there's so many bands.
Yeah.
Okay. Enough about Cravon. Good job, Cravon. Keep making cool, unique records and playing good live shows. We're going to go into Lance's second selection. Lipstick stains on me. Lipstick stains on me.
Attached. Hear my name, hear my name, hear my name. get closer. You think you wanna come over? I think we both know the answer. Girl, there ain't no question.
Yeah, so that was Brasco with Lipstick Stains featuring Saint Pressure. Brasco is, I think I've played Brasco on this show in the
past. I believe you have.
He put out a really great song, a really, really great like 80s kind of driving song called Take Me. And I almost picked that, but I also told myself I will not play any songs that I've already played on this show before. He just dropped his debut album earlier this year, and what Brasco's doing is really interesting, and I think it's really indicative of some other stuff that's happening in town where, okay, so I've been very steeped in like pop music for a while, and pop music's starting to get a little weirder, like in Nashville, like it's starting to get a little weirder, and it's also starting to develop, I think it's also starting to like bring in people who are queer and are non-binary and like, you know, gender fluid or have fluid sexuality. And I think that that is the next phase of like really interesting stuff in Nashville. Brasco is part of that. Saint Pressure produced that track, I believe. And Saint Pressure also worked with an artist named Freak Daddy. Freak Daddy is Sammy Lane. They are a non-binary artist. I went to college with them. Full disclosure. And their song Confetti is also like kind of in that same zone. It's a super dancey, super poppy. Athena is also kind of in that. Queer artists like making really interesting pop music. That's something that I am looking forward to.
Right.
Not just in this year, but also next year and the year after that.
Yeah.
And something that would have been virtually unheard of in Nashville 10 years
Not
ago.
Not virtually. Just flat out impossible.
Flat out impossible.
Yeah.
And so I think that's really cool. And I also just love that song because I'm, you know, an unabashed fan of Prince.
Yes.
It's a very Princey song.
Yeah, I was going to make the, like, this is going to anger people to compare it to Prince, but come on.
I mean, yeah.
It has such an awesome Prince vibe to it.
Yeah, yeah. We could use more Prince vibes in the world now that we no longer have Prince.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though he has the vault.
He does have the vault. There will be Prince music forever.
Yeah, someone told me once that, this is such a tangent, but that Prince has covered every Beatles record and then put it in the vault.
Really?
Yes.
I would have listened to all of those.
Yeah, me too. I don't know if it's true or not, but I tell everyone that, so sticking with it. Yeah, I remember playing some Brasco before. I may have played this, or I may have played this. Mm-hmm. I know I've heard this track before, and it's awesome. I mean, it's really fantastic. This is from Sex Dream Superstar, released in 2019. I totally agree that the pop angle it's really getting very interesting.
Yeah, for sure. And that record's really interesting, and also there's a great T-Rex cover on it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, all right. This will be marked for later listening. Absolutely. All right, we're going to keep going. This is why I have you on the show. our selections are very different, but I feel like our tastes still overlap a great deal.
Yeah, totally.
So I don't have any pop selections on my list here, but thank you for bringing some to the table. Appreciate it.
You got it.
All right, here's another one.
Let's get
couple times you say maybe the politician's gonna be on my side, gonna give you a break. You spend this money, get it all right back. See the water, it shall be watered. It's the American way. Something you won't get another chance, and your friends will surely call you a loser. Just put your eyes on this new driveway, it's waiting for your car. When it had a talk with the police department, and they said they'll come around more, keep the tweakers off your yard.
That was Faux Ferocious with the track Price of Progress off of their record Pretty Groovy. I am a fan.
Yeah, I would say pretty groovy.
Yeah, very groovy. There is something so sinister about their music to
me. Oh, yeah.
It is very creepy in the best way. Just there's something right under this. Maybe it's that what you mentioned off air, the bass vocal, the like deep monotone vocal that kind of like pairs with everything.
That's kind of like sitting over your shoulder as you're listening to it.
Yeah. It's a very excellent little addition.
Yeah.
I went back and listened to some releases I have in my archive, my deep archive of releases. And I have some stuff from like 2015. They sound pretty much the same.
Yeah.
Something about this record just sparked and just caught in a different way.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, and that band's been around for quite a while at this point.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing them at perhaps the weirdest show I've ever shot, which was a kind of like slapdash music festival, quote unquote, in Gallatin, Tennessee at an abandoned elementary school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was weird times. I saw them play in the gym. And like just thinking like, man, this band's really good. And then they kind of like will go dormant for a little while, mm-hmm. and you won't hear anything from them. And then they'll come out and be like, oh, hey, I remember that band. I love that band.
Yeah.
And this was that for me. Like, I know that they've been putting out stuff with Infinity Cat in the past. And wasn't there like a famous person that produced this most recent record?
So I don't know. I honestly don't know if Pretty Groovy was produced by someone famous, but they put out a single called Good Times Ahead that is from Danger Mouse.
Oh.
It's on his record label, 30th Century.
Yeah.
And he may have produced it as well. I really should have researched more. But that is definitely released via Danger Mouse's record. I assume, you know, also produced by him. That to me is like, that's some real confirmation. Like,
oh, for sure.
Danger Mouse is saying, oh, I like this enough to put my name on it.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's a great song. That was also on my long list.
Yeah, the whole record is great. There's a track on there called Solvency, which actually came out on like a 12-inch, but maybe even a couple years ago, that is really great, really creepy. I've played it on the show before. The whole record's great. And they're great live. Mm-hmm. They're a fantastic band. They also have some krautrock tendencies, I think is fair to say. So them and Craven, I'm now two for two with slight krautrock influences. But, you know, that's what I like.
I'm good with it.
Yeah. So I won't spend too much time on that, but I really implore everyone to go check out that whole record and just click follow on Faux Ferocious, because I believe whatever's next should be very interesting.
Totally.
Okay. We're going into your third selection, and I believe we're out of the pop realm.
You're very much out of the pop realm.
We are maybe on the other side.
The extreme other side, yes.
Here we go.
Thank you.
Yeah, so that was Lofty Thoughts by Depression Breakfast, a Riot Grrrl band out of Nashville. They are a one-and-done band. That band is no longer, unfortunately. Their singer, I believe, has left the country.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because, man, that band is so good.
Agreed.
I think I went to see them every time I could for like 3 months solid. And I probably saw them like 6 times in 3 months.
Wow.
And just loved it so much. I'm a big Riot Grrrl fan. Like, I love Bratmobile and Bikini Kill and, you know, all those bands. And they had the exact same energy and the exact same, like, fuck you to it. That, like, it was so great seeing them every time. It's a bummer that they're no longer banned. I know the rest of the members have kind of scattered to the winds. Lisa, who is in the band, is now in Donors, so you'll still see her around. The other thing about this is it's kind of like a backdoor best of like Dark Matter.
Yeah.
Dark Matter is my favorite thing that happened in 2019.
Same.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously Dark Matter's been around for longer since now, but like them having a dedicated venue that can't get taken away from them, that they won't get priced out of, that they can just like set up shop and like make cool stuff happen.
Mm-hmm.
My absolute favorite thing in the year. That's the place where I saw the most shows all year long, and not just because it's really close to my house. because like they book great shows that I just want to be at, and I think that Dark Matter and Depression Breakfast just go hand in hand with that.
Yeah, I agree. I think they definitely embody that kind of DIY headspace that Dark Matter embodies. There's also I believe the first release for To Go Records.
Yes,
or maybe the second. I don't remember if Ivan was the first or not.
Yeah.
But this is an early release for To Go Records, as all releases are for To Go Records, as they just started this year.
Right, yeah.
But big shout out to them. Had them on the show for an interview, and I just really like what they're doing. Their selections are really varied and very interesting.
Yeah, and they also do a Nashville Show To Go, show calendar.
Yeah.
That's a very compact list of like the coolest things happening in Nashville.
Yeah, as a 40-year-old, it's great to have an Instagram account that I can follow and be like, these are the shows that I'm probably not going to, but I'm so happy to know where they are.
These are the shows where I will feel the oldest at, and I want to go, but I also know that fact, and I can say that as a 32-year-old as well. So.
I mean, all those house venues, I'm like, oof, nope, I'm not stepping foot in there.
Yeah.
But I love that they keep up that list, and they've been doing it for a while.
They've been doing it for a while, yeah.
I mean, I know from talking to people at the scene that doing the show calendar is not easy.
Oh my God, it's hard. Yeah. It is so hard. That was my first job as an intern at the scene 10 years ago, was updating the calendar. It sucks. It is so tedious and so frustrating, and everything changes all the time.
Yeah, I can't imagine. So kudos to To Go Records and Nashville Show To Go and Depression Breakfast. Just because they broke up does not mean that you should not check out this record. It is very powerful. It is punky and short, you know.
Oh yeah, I think the whole record is like 11 minutes long.
That's how punk records should be.
That's how they should be, but they're a powerful 11 minutes.
They really are. I actually had the song Professional on my short list of selections for this. It has a nice choral refrain of fuck you, pay me.
Yep.
Big fan of that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's also, I think, very female empowered, very empowered in all the ways that aren't cis white men, which is great. You know,
yeah, totally.
More of that, like nice little overlap with your comment earlier about the pop music scene, because this is certainly that as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Dark Matter, like by virtue of Dark Matter existing, they are able to bring in bands with, you know, trans members and women and non-binary, and it's like, that's great. Please, I want to see more bands that are not a bunch of people that look exactly like me.
Yeah, representation and diversity, please.
Yeah,
like, yeah. Dot dot dot. You get it. All right, Depression Breakfast, everyone knows that's a great record. You've heard it many times this year.
Yep.
So just hear it one more time. You're confirmed. All right, this track, this is just one of those ones where I was like, every time this came up and played in my music player, I still use iTunes.
Shame.
I love it. I just, something about the song I just love. So here it is. That was Friends! Exclamation point by Future Crib off of their album Friends, released in September of 2019. I gotta tell you, there's something about the crack in his voice that just kills me every time.
It's very like a Wayne Coyne. Like,
oh, I went immediately for Quasi. Like,
oh, really?
All I can hear there is Quasi.
Yeah.
It sounds just like Sam Coombs to me. And Quasi is like, when I was in college, I think that's probably who I played the most. And it just, it crushes me. I mean, the lyrical content is great. It tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be your friend for a long time with this just sort of like pleading nature.
Yeah.
This like longing.
Yeah.
I don't know. It really works for me. I like Future Crib, the band. I think this album is good. This song is fantastic.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree. And I picked up on Future Crib fairly late. I think as I was looking, like checking out like Spewfest bands, trying to figure out my schedule and came across them. They were playing like very early in the day at Spewfest. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really, really great. Their EP, Beamish, is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not trying to hate on the Friends album here.
Oh, no.
We're saying Beamish is great and this song is great. You did a great job, Future Crib. Friends is solid.
Yeah, totally.
We're into it, but you really knocked it out of the park with the title track.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So I don't know if it's maybe it's shitty to say, I don't know if it's an important, in heavy quotes, record for Nashville. It's like a rad indie rock band, but this, I feel like, that song like could totally connect with a huge wide audience.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, like in the indie college, if we were living in a time where college radio was a thing that we all paid attention to still, this would crush it.
Oh, for sure. And it's also, I think it is kind of an interesting direction that like Nashville rock is going into. For the longest time, like it seemed like Nashville rock, it was basically just garage rock. It was like garage rock and punk and that was it.
Yep.
And it seems like the genres are kind of splintering a little bit more again, where you get stuff like this, where it is more college rocky, or, you know, other songs that we'll play throughout the night or throughout the episode where it's like more alternative rock or, you know, more like spooky kind of like gothic rock sort of stuff. Like there's a lot that's happening in Nashville where genre wise that I don't think we really saw a lot of like in the middle of this decade.
No, I agree completely. And if we were to go through this list of bands that you and I could not include on
episode,
we would definitely heavy hit on all those. But that sentiment is a wonderful transition into the next song. Your final choice for episode one of 2019 highlights. Here we go.
I can't.
Ghost by Bleary off their debut EP Gates, which came out back in April. That is probably my favorite like local rock song of the year.
That song is so good.
Ever since that record came out in April, it has had like the top position on my like 2019 like Spotify playlist. So I listen to it constantly.
Yeah.
For the Best of Nashville this year, I gave that record Best Rock Debut.
Fitting.
It's really, really, really good. The thing that stands out to me is for a while, like, you know, the earlier part of the decade was like Bully and like kind of early 90s kind of grunge rock. It seems like some bands in the scene have moved more towards like mid 90s, like post grunge. Like Bleary sounds like, you know, the Breeders or like, you know, they're like, I hear like Smashing Pumpkins in them. Like I hear Smashing Pumpkins in like Reality Something. And like, you know, Sad Baxter is obviously like very Weezer-y, you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like I'm hearing more of like coming into like the mid 90s versus like the early 90s. Like this band sounds like it should be on Sub Pop, and surprise, now they are Bullies on Sub Pop. You know, like,
yeah.
That's what I hear out of that. And but that song, I love it.
Yes. I have listened to that song a great deal as well. I don't know about the mid 90s thing. I feel like you got to go further back.
Oh, yeah.
Because this feels like 80s goth rock to
really?
Me.
Like interesting.
Like, you know, like the best Sushi and the Banshees song. Which is like the poppiest song they ever did. Like,
yeah.
It feels like it has this kind of like dark vibe to it with the shoegazy kind of guitar sound.
Yeah.
But it's still super accessible.
Yeah.
And, you know, music's cyclical, so maybe
sure,
we're both right. But I think maybe that's the appeal also.
Like, oh, yeah,
you're,
sure.
What you're hearing and what I'm hearing, we both love those things, but we're pulling different elements out of it. It's just, it's a wonderful song.
But and also just the way that song just sings, like everything works together so well. Just the harmonies and just like kind of screeching guitar noises in the background.
Yeah.
Like everything works so well in it. And I'm a huge fan of that band.
Yeah, me too. This is the sad part for them is that the bar is so high now.
Oh my God, it's so high. It's so, so, so high.
Because I heard they posted their demos on Bandcamp, you know, and I'm constantly browsing Bandcamp, and they posted their demos back in January of 2018, you know, almost 2 years from where we're talking now. And I loved the demos then, and they managed to make an EP out of those demos that delivered. Like,
oh,
they cleaned
God,
up the
yeah.
sound. They like did a phenomenal job. So they met my expectations, which is a bad thing to do because now my expectations are even higher. And it's just good luck, guys. I know you can do it, but this, you've set it too high.
Yeah,
it's
I
too
know.
Good.
But you know, like they can probably do it though. Like Idle Bloom has consistently put out better and better and better albums every time.
Yeah.
And every time I'm like, there's no way that Idle Bloom can be even better than that last one. And they do it. Like,
yeah.
So I have faith in them. I think that they can. They
so
can...
you're saying people get better at songwriting and recording over time?
I know. It sounds crazy. It sounds wild.
This EP was put out by Cold Lunch Recordings, which we are huge fans of here.
Yeah.
Cold Lunch puts out a ton of stuff, particularly in 2019. And I don't think any of it is less than the other.
No.
It's all good.
It's so good. And they work their asses off to put on really fun events like festivals, like Bob Fest and
Spew Fest
and Brown Bag Fest they were part of. And like,
what was it, summer one? They did another one. There's like six or seven.
They are constantly on their grind doing festivals because they love music and they love local music and they're just like, we're going to make this happen. I'm a big fan of what they're doing and I'm so, so very supportive of like anything that they do.
Yeah, absolutely. We are very lucky to have them and they just keep getting better and better, which is such a good thing.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to play my last selection here. It's a little bit on the, I mean, I'm not going to top the energy of that song. I'm not going to top it. So this,
I really set you up for failure here.
You did. But this song is wonderful. So I set myself up for success. Here it is.
Maybe your phone was out of service. Maybe you just don't want a burden with the word. Maybe the phone call made you nervous, although a text may be preferred, it needs to be heard. Long way out for now. Maybe your best life has to flourish to need me around. Long way out for now. Maybe the next time have the courage to leave me. Maybe the love gods have deserted. Even if Venus sings the verses, believe me, the curse. Maybe the love gods don't deserve us. Maybe the angels have a service fee we observe.
Out from Anchor Thieves off of a single, a double single. I don't know what you call it these days. Two songs that they released. It's not an A side and a B side. It's just two new songs. This happened to be the second of the two. And obviously, it's a bit of a ballad.
Yep.
Anchor Thieves is generally known for being kind of a rock band. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a three piece, they do a lot of interesting stuff. But this song in particular, it just really struck me. It's a breakup song, but it's also a very defiant breakup song, saying like this person ghosted the narrator, like didn't have the courage to text, didn't have the courage to call, just kind of ghosted. It's a very tender kind of undertaking, but I think is a really, it's a significant mark for Anchor Thieves to be like, have come this far. They've been a band literally for 10 years. Mm-hmm. They celebrated their 10-year anniversary this year. Earlier in the year, they released their Havoc Siren EP, which is super interesting, way more weird instrumentation than what they generally do. And then at the end of the year here, I think back in October, they released this double single, and it's great. I just really wanted to shout them out for writing a song that, while it is a ballad, we're going out on episode one with a ballad instead of a banger. The rule is all bangers, but they just crushed it. I think they did a really good job. I think it's a song that can connect with a lot of people. And it's, again, if you've been doing something for 10 years and improving over time, it's great when it shows.
And it's always interesting to see a band take a totally different tack from like what they're known for. I am familiar with, but haven't listened to a ton of Anchor Thieves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that is a, like a very emotional, very tender, like kind of folk ballad sort of thing. And kind of in the vein of like, you know, your Josh Ritters and whatnot.
Yeah.
Like that was, you know, that was a really pretty song. And knowing that they're like, oh, but they're a rock band. Like that's always really interesting to see how, you know, those kind of those inclinations still feed into this whole separate genre that they're trying on.
Yeah. I think Anchor Thieves has really shown in the last year that they are kind of shedding a bit of fear of being locked into a box. And I think that's good advice for just about any band. Like, go wherever your songwriting takes you. And if that's the rock song, great. I mean, the A side for this is a rock song and it's really good. But, you know, they also incorporated a ton of different instrumentation and different sounds on their EP earlier in the year. And then they went for a ballad that was also phenomenal.
Yeah.
So just some good advice, some good leading there. Way to go, Anchor Thieves.
Good job.
Yeah. All right. So that's it for episode one of 2019 Highlights. We're going to stop here. And the next episode will be the next 8 selections from the two of us. Not ranked. Again.
No, again, not ranked.
Just highlights, good things you should know. So, as I said in the last episode, please take some time from here to the end of the year to do absolutely nothing.
Yes.
Watch some TV, stare at a wall, just do nothing.
Yeah, carve out 3.5 hours, watch that Martin Scorsese movie on Netflix.
Yeah, you earned that.
You earned it.
So, thank you so much. We are at weownthistown.net. We are at weownthistown on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Lance is at?
LanceCo at all places, Instagram, Twitter, yes.
Yeah. Don't follow him on Facebook. You don't know him.
No. I don't post to Facebook much anymore. So if you want the goods, Twitter and Instagram's where it's at.
I hate friend requests from people I don't know. Oh, don't do that to me. and LinkedIn requests too. Not that I'm on there very much, but don't ask to be my business partner if you've never met me.
Yeah, don't send me music stuff through LinkedIn. you can also find my website at lanceconzit.com. That's where I put all my photos.
And they are phenomenal.
Thank you.
Spend some time over the holiday break looking at every photo he's ever taken. I bet there's a Flickr archive that you've never shut down.
Oh, yeah. I have photos dating back to 2007 in Flickr. So you can also look at those if you want to. I'm also at LanceCo there.
Hell of an archive. So thank you all so much for listening. We will be back very shortly. Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, this song is so good.
It's so good.